Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car. My name is Jesse Romero. I'm over here in Kansas. I'm doing some apostolic work out here. And I'm here with my friend Paul Clay. This is a two-man car. We're two retired cops talking about the Catholic faith. There's nothing we enjoy more than talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Paul, are you 10-8, my friend?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I can hear you perfect, by the way. I know we're states across from each other. Paul, I want to jump right into an article today from Archbishop Jose Gomez, which kind of surprises me because this is not like Archbishop Gomez generally talks. But I'm glad. It looks like he's having an epiphany. He's having a red pill moment. The article's called Los Angeles Archbishop Decries Rise of Globalism, Anti-Christian Elite Leadership Class. As I read this article, I think we shared it over the weekend with ourselves. You shared it with me last week. He sounds like Archbishop Vigano, Bishop Schneider, Bishop Mueller, you know, Bishop Burke. And it's good to see that he's finally speaking out against this woke culture, including the woke culture, Paul, in the Catholic Church. What say you?
You know, Jess, I don't know. Can you hear an echo?
No, I can hear you perfect now. No, the echo's gone.
Yeah, I'm getting an echo. Archbishop Gomez really surprised me with this article, and it's very encouraging since he's right now head of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Yeah, here's what it says. It's a very short. I want to read some of it, then we'll just comment on it. He says, this is Archbishop Jose Gomez, Los Angeles, head of the USCCB. He says that, now I hear an echo. Okay. He's denounced a deliberate effort to erase the Christian roots of society and to suppress any remaining Christian influences. In a powerful video to the Congress on Catholics in Public Life in Madrid, I think that's in Madrid, Spain, Archbishop Gomez said last week that an elite leadership class has risen in our countries that has little interest in religion and no real attachments to the nations they live in or the local traditions or the cultures. So he's talking about the globalists. He's talking about the people that are behind the Great Reset. He says, this group was in charge of corporations, governments, universities, the media, and in cultural and professional establishments. They want to establish what we might call a global civilization. Paul, I never thought I'd hear Archbishop Gomez talking like this. He goes on to say, in this elite worldview, there is no need for old-fashioned belief systems and religions. In fact, as they see it, religion, especially Christianity, only gets in the way of the society they hope to build. And Archbishop Gomez, in his critique of cancel culture and political correctness, Gomez said the following, quote, often what is being canceled and corrected are perspectives rooted in Christian beliefs about human life and the human person, about marriage, the family, and more. And in modern society, the space that the church and believing Christians are permitted to occupy is shrinking, Archbishop Gomez lamented. Church institutions and Christian-owned businesses are increasingly challenged and harassed. And the same is true for Christians working in education, healthcare, government, and other sectors. Holding certain Christian beliefs is said to be a threat to the freedoms and even to the safety of other groups in our society. He says that we're going through a project of radical secularization right now, which is anti-Christian in its roots.
Yep.
And they've accelerated this during the coronavirus pandemic, the Archbishop said. Paul, comments?
I didn't catch the beginning, Jess, and I got back, but hey, I'm having technical difficulties. I'm getting a really bad echo.
Okay, I'll continue. Let's jump in when you're ready. You let me know. Archbishop Gomez says, I think history will look back and see that this pandemic did not change our societies as much as it accelerated trends and directions that were already at work. Social changes that might have taken decades to play out are now moving more rapidly in the wake of the disease and our society's responses. Again, this is Archbishop Jose Gomez speaking. This is not like him. I've never heard him talk like this in 6 or 7 years that he's been the Archbishop of Los Angeles. He sounds like the twin brother of Archbishop Vigano. This to me is a breath of fresh air. When you have somebody like Archbishop Gomez speaking out so candidly like this about the dangers that we're all in right now as a result of the globalists and the resetters, you know we're in trouble because it looks like he's had a red pill moment. Archbishop Gomez says, the new social movements and ideologies that we're talking about today were being seeded and prepared for many years in our universities and cultural institutions. Well, I've been saying that for 20 years, by the way, what he just said right now. Yeah, this Marxist infiltration started in our universities. Gomez says, but with the tension and fear caused by the pandemic and social isolation, and with the killing of an unarmed black man by a white policeman and protests that followed in our cities, these movements were fully unleashed in our society. By the way, that was just a pretext for the anarchists and Black Lives Matter to do what they do best, which is just cause a ruckus and anarchy. Archbishop Gomez says, political belief systems based on social justice or personal identity have come to fill the space that Christian belief and practice once occupied. Gomez ends by saying, whatever we call these movements, social justice, wokeness, identity politics, intersectionality, successor ideology, they claim to offer what religion provides. The architects of this movement seek to replace the Christian story with what we might call the woke story or the social justice story. Gomez says, today's critical theories and ideologies are profoundly atheistic. They deny the soul, the spiritual, transcendent dimension of human nature, or they think that it is irrelevant to human happiness. Instead, they reduce what it means to be human to essentially physical qualities, the color of our skin, our sex, our notions of gender, our ethnic background, or our position in society. Well said, Archbishop Gomez. Comments, Paul? Thoughts?
Yeah. You know, Jeff, I'm wondering, I mean, this is such a great article. I'm wondering at what kind of consensus there is amongst the members of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, because this is powerful, it's conservative, it is on point. As a matter of fact, there is nothing that he has said in this article that I don't wholeheartedly agree with.
Right.
I'm pretty amazed and surprised because, and no disrespect, but a lot of people were wondering when we got Archbishop Gomez. There was a lot of buzz when Archdiocese of Los Angeles got him. There was a lot of buzz. Okay, yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's coming from Texas. He's just and at the same time, he has seemingly let us down in so many areas. But at this article right here, definitely, is somewhat redemption.
He's having a come to Jesus moment right now, Paul. I think he's saying everything around us falling apart so fast, the wheels are coming off the wagon, and Archbishop Gomez is basically telling us what St. Paul says in Ephesians 5:14. St. Paul says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. That's what it sounds to me. Gomez is, he's telling us to awake, not to become woke. Comments?
Jess, listen, I pray and hopefully the members of the audience pray that, you know, we have more and more of the princes of the church stand up for such righteous causes, because we are in an epic battle right now. And
yes,
it literally is a battle for the planet. See, a lot of people don't realize, you know, the power of the mass and the grace that's just unleashed onto planet Earth, so to speak. And it just how it thwarts evil and just it represses the evil. But yet when the mass begins to you know, as in the case of the pandemic, when they restrict the mass, you know, they restrict those graces that, that flow.
Absolutely.
When you have, Jess, when you have a bunch of people in leadership that have really, the only way I can describe it is cowardice or just, is it possible, Jess, that their formation is that badly formed that they just, you know, make these decisions and don't realize it?
And I think it's a combination of some of them are just modernist, and they already went in with evil design. Some of them probably meant well, but they were malformed in the seminaries. And again, the former, they're just infiltrators. The modernist homosexual cabal, these are infiltrators into the church. This is planned by Satan. This is planned by the Masons. Yeah. This is planned by the Marxist communists. This is they have to take down the Catholic Church, Paul, because when you talk about Western civilization and everything good in Western civilization, you're basically speaking Roman Catholicism.
Yes. Yes, because the church, really, everything that we understand in the worldview that we have right now has been shaped by the church. Yes. You know, as I reflected on this article, I was amazed that the bishops could, you know, in the early 2000s could not come to a consensus on that it's wrong to deny, that we need to deny these politicians who are pro-abortion. We need to deny them the Holy Eucharist.
We'll talk about that next when the Cardinal Raymond Burke has something to say about that up next.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay, Jesus 911. The month of November is dedicated to the holy souls of purgatory. My parents are dead. Paul, you have one parent alive still?
Yes, my dad is alive. My mother's passed.
Okay, let's pray for all our family members that have passed away. Yeah. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Eternal rest grant to them, O Lord, and let your perpetual light shine upon them. May the souls of our family members, through the mercy of God, rest in peace, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We're talking about Archbishop Gomez's statements, which haven't been part of his repertoire in the last 6-7 years. This is a breath of fresh air. He's talking about the dangers of the Great Reset people, the globalists, the Marxists, the anarchists. And before we go on to Raymond Burke's article, I just want to just mention that this whole thing about woke, what this whole woke culture does, it makes victims of people. And it makes victims of people based on skin color, economic class, or gender. That's what they do. And people think that the woke culture empowers people. It doesn't empower them. This is identity politics. This is Marxist identity politics, which leads to racism and division and anarchy and riots in the streets, Paul. And what we need, here's the last thing I'll say, then I'll throw it to you. We don't need critical theory to be taught to our children. What we need is critical thinking to be taught to our children, how to become critical thinkers, not critical theorists based on Marxist ideology, Paul.
That's right, Jess. Listen, when we become united under the banner of Christ, what does sacred scripture say? It says that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free, but we are all one in Christ. You see, Christ came to unite us. Christ is the only one who can unite the human family. So what the enemies of this of liberty and democracy have done in the world is they have systematically, number one, they have attacked church in a way to, you know, the only hope for the world. So they basically discredited the church, like you said earlier, through infiltration, through scandal, through so many prongs that they've got their hooks in, and then they've turned around and used these issues in order to divide people. You see, what everybody remembers the old song, "United We Stand, divided we fall. And any good general knows, we've said this before, that the easiest way to conquer your foe would be to cause division. And that's exactly what you see happening, especially under this administration. A lot
yep,
of
that's that, yeah, that's
it the, was under yeah. Trump. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Jess.
That's the classist Marxist strategy, divide and conquer, which, by the way, comes from Satan. Satan is the first one that taught us to divide and conquer back in the Garden of Eden. And guess what? He's been doing it successfully ever since. And he'll also use political movements to try to move countries and people in that direction. The answer to the solution is what Pope Pius X said like 100 years ago. He says, we've got to call the entire world under the social kingship of Christ. The social kingship of Christ, by St. Pius X, he said,
yes.
He said, there will not be peace and tranquility in the world until every nation and every individual accepts Jesus Christ as King and Lord in their heart. Pope St. Pius X.
Yeah, and he's echoing the great St. Augustine, who said, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. You see, our whole reason for being is to know God, is to enjoy communion with God, yes. And through the fall, that has been broken, but through the incarnation, Christ has reconnected us. And
yes.
Yet there are many in this world who refuse, who want the kingdom, but they don't want the king. They want all the benefits of the kingdom, but they don't want the king.
That's Marxism.
Yeah. Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
Paul, let's move on to another Catholic bishop who's Cardinal Raymond Burke, who's kind of been sidelined by Pope Francis. But this is one of the great intellects, one of the great intellectual Orthodox giants of our age. And he talks about in this article, it says, Catholic politicians and non-admittance to Holy Communion. I can't believe this is even being discussed, but let me read two paragraphs and then we'll just offer our comments. Cardinal Burke says this, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for the past several months, the intention of the church in the U.S. has been very much in my prayers. At their coming November meeting, the bishops of the United States will be considering the application of Canon 915 of the Code of Canon Law. And here's what it says, quote, those who have been excommunicated or interdicted after the imposition or declaration of the penalty and others obstinately persevering in manifest grave sin are not to be admitted to Holy Communion, close quote. Their deliberations will address in particular the long-term and gravely scandalous situation of Catholic politicians who persist in supporting and advancing programs, policies, and laws in grievous violation of the most fundamental precepts of the moral law, while at the same time claiming to be devout Catholics, especially by presenting themselves to receive Holy Communion. In praying for the bishops, in my homeland, the U.S., I have more and more thought about the experience of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops over 17 years ago at their summer meeting in Denver in June 2004 in addressing the same issue. It's an experience which I lived intensely. And look at what he says.
Yeah.
He throws somebody under the bus. He says, I have thought it important to offer the following reflections as a help to us all in addressing now and in the future such a critical matter, a matter of life and death for the unborn and of eternal salvation for the Catholic politicians involved. In my homeland, as in other nations, I had wanted to offer these reflections much sooner, but recovery from recent difficulties prevented the writings of these reflections until now. The context...
I would say, yeah.
Yeah, the context of June 2004 meeting of the U.S. bishops was the campaign of Senator John Kerry for president of the U.S. Senator Kerry claimed to be a Catholic while at the same time supporting and promoting abortion on demand in the nation. At the time, I was Archbishop of St. Louis, appointed on December 2nd, 2003, as had been my practice as Bishop of La Crosse, appointed on December 1994, I admonished Senator Kerry not to present himself to receive Holy Communion because, after having been duly admonished, he persisted in the objectively grave sin of promoting directly procured abortion. I was not the only bishop to admonish him thus. From the time of my first Episcopal ministry in the Diocese of La Crosse, I had confronted the situation of politicians presenting themselves as practicing Catholics and at the same time supporting and advancing programs, policies, and laws in violation of the moral law. As a new and relatively young bishop, I spoke with other brother bishops, especially one of the senior suffragans in my ecclesiastical province, about several Catholic lawmakers in the Diocese of La Crosse who were in this situation. The common response of brother bishops was the expectation that the Conference of Bishops would eventually address the question. Knowing my moral obligation in a matter of such serious consequences, defined in Canon 915, I began to contact the legislators from the Diocese of La Crosse, asking them to meet with them to discuss the complete incoherence of their positions regarding procured abortion with the Catholic faith they professed. Sadly, none of them was willing to meet with me. One carried out a certain correspondence with me, insisting that his position regarding abortion was consistent with the Catholic faith, following the erroneous counsel presented by certain dissident professors of moral theology, adherents of the heretical school of proportionalism, at a summit held at the Hyannisport compound of the Kennedy family in the summer of 64. Paul?
Let's take a pause, Jess. This is very lengthy.
Yeah.
Listen. Even though it's a great article, and I'm sure that people can link this article, but let me just comment a couple of
yes.
places. Number one, this reminds me of, do you remember when President Obama was the president? And
yes.
there were all kinds of laws on the books regarding immigration. By the way, especially concerning illegal immigration, and Obama mm-hmm. essentially ignored those laws. He suspended those laws, claiming executive privilege, saying that, well, I have a right to, enforce or not. So it kind of reminds me of that. You see, the Catholic Church has laws on the books concerning, what we're to do when we find ourselves in these types of precarious situations, when you have public figures claiming to be Catholic, and by the way, they claim to be Catholic because they want the Catholic vote, you see.
That's right.
This is yeah. So what they're doing is they're using, the fact that they're Catholic in order to, further their political ambition. So this is the kind of a situation it is where you see a lot of these people. So, we know what the official stance on the Catholic Church is, but they never get around to enforcing the laws or the rules. And this is a tactic, by the way, this is a Marxist tactic again, Jess. This is something that they do, when the laws are on the books, just ignore them, kind of like what they said about Vatican II. Well, it's a pastoral thing, so let everybody kind of do their own thing. And we know what the we know what the church teaches. And this is the problem. This is why this type of governing cannot work, does not work. And Cardinal Burke rightly sees that he has a personal responsibility, Jess, that on Judgment Day, he's not going to be standing up there with the Conference of Catholic Bishops. He's going to be standing looking into the eyes of the Lord, his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and he is going to have to give an account for every decision that he has made. To whom much is given, much is required. And let me tell you something, when you're a prince of the church, when you're a successor of the apostles, God expects you to deliver, to defend the faith, Jess.
Yeah, even if it means dying for it. Even if it means giving your that's sure. what the red hat's all about. And by the way, yes. Paul, these are the prophecies of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Akita, Japan, Our Lady of Good Counsel, that there would be before the second coming of Christ, that there would be divisions and war amongst the bishops. Bishops would contradict each other, cardinals would contradict each other, and bishops and cardinals would contradict the Pope and vice versa. So right now, amongst the successors of the apostles, we don't have a lot of harmony. We have cacophony. And again, it looks like Archbishop Gomez is starting to come into the camp of harmony. So we'll see. Yep. Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. We'll continue talking about this great article, this great speech given by Cardinal Raymond Burke. Stick with us.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, the first pope of the Catholic Church says, 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. If it begins with us, what will be the end for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Can you imagine, Paul? We are going through a judgment right now. Any type of persecution that we're experiencing, it's God's providence. It's God's permissive will and divine providence.
Yes.
And because we haven't stopped the killing of babies since 1973 as a church.
No.
And as a result of that, the Bible says that if we're going to be judged, the household of God, how much more those that don't even obey the gospel?
Yeah, Jess, listen. Jesus called the leaders of the Jewish faith at the time, he called them blind guides. You see, imagine, you hire a guide and that guide is blind. He can't lead you anywhere, right? He's going to lead you over the cliff. Why? Because he's blind. He cannot see. And it's a sad reality that in the church today, many, many who have been called by God to lead and to lay down their life for the sheep, to be true shepherds, are hirelings, and they are blind guides. And in their blindness, they are leading the faithful, or what would be faithful, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing, Jess, by the word of God. But they've stopped proclaiming the word of God. They're using, they're proclaiming, many of them are using it to their own advantage and to their own ends. And I got to tell you, Jess, remember Nineveh in the Bible, a nation whose sins rose up so great that God had decided to destroy it. Remember Sodom. Remember Gomorrah. I fear, Jess, that we in the United States are on that path. We are on that trajectory. And if we think somehow we're the United States, you see, we have a great army. And let me tell you something. Open your eyes and turn on the news, Jess. China and other nations around the world they're beating the war drum. I'm telling you, the enemy is at the gate.
Because they sense weakness with unelected Joe Biden, this apostate Catholic who's basically being manipulated like a puppet. And I'm going to tell you, Paul, the bishops, they must clean house. They must clean house. I mean, I get it. We welcome saints and sinners alike in the Catholic Church. But when it comes to our diocese and the parishes and the schools and those in positions of leadership, these bishops can't allow open dissenting theologians on abortion, homosexuality, contraception, women priests. They cannot allow this to happen under their watch in their chancery offices. And this lack of fidelity, Paul, that we have running rampant in these offices under the bishops, these chancery offices, I just want to remind these bishops who are the leaders of the church. James chapter 3, verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. In other words, these bishops are going to have a lot more to worry about than lawsuits. Jesus says, if you allow these little ones to be hurt, and we could talk about little ones as just the faithful, the rank and file, the hoi polloi, Joe Sixpack in the pew. Jesus says, if you allow these little ones, to be scandalized, and you're allowing the whole culture to go to hell in a handbasket, Jesus said, tie a millstone around your neck and jump off of a bridge.
Yes, yes. Everybody knows that a little leaven leavens the whole lump, Jess, yet we hear some of the princes of the church saying things like, oh, you know, we should welcome the homosexual community into church because they have gifts for the church. What kind of nonsense is that? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out from amongst them. You know, that's the call for us. You know, we have to separate ourselves. And when we see somebody who's claiming to be a person of faith, like many of these politicians, and they're doing something completely the opposite, it is an act of mercy to call them out on it and to let them know that, you know, you can let them know privately, but let them know that, hey, listen, we are going to deny you Holy Communion because you're going to be eating and drinking condemnation to yourself. So, if we continue to allow you to do this, you know, there's going to be no hope for your soul. So we need to do this in order to restore you and bring you back to the fullness of the faith. Because Jesus says, if you love me, obey me, then you are my disciple.
Amen. Paul, you know, in the book of Ezekiel, the men were called to be the spiritual watchmen of the city. And that's what bishops are. Bishops are the watchmen yes. of the new Israel of God, the new Jerusalem, the Catholic yes. Church. And it's their responsibility, the bishops, as the watchmen over the people to warn us about impending danger, because that's exactly what the responsibility of a watchman was. Those men that were on the walls of Jerusalem, just scouting for the enemies. And if they don't do their job, Ezekiel has some hard words for them. Ezekiel 33:8-9. Listen to what God says. If I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you will have saved your life. This is very clear.
And I'll extend that to say your soul. That's what we're talking about. Your soul, the eternal life. That's what we're talking about.
Yep, exactly. And Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 says, say unto the righteous, it will be well with them, and unto the wicked, it shall be ill with them. In other words,
yes,
the prophet's warning us, and this is just not limited to the Old Testament, by the way, because when Paul spoke to the elders in Ephesus in Acts 20:28, he says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has given you guardians, made you guardians, to feed the church of the Lord, which he obtained with his own blood. He calls the leaders at Ephesus. He says, take care of the flock. You're made the guardians to feed the church of the Lord. Yep. And I'll tell you, Paul, this is what distinguishes a false prophet from a true prophet. I want your comment.
Oh, no doubt about it. I'm just reminded. Go ahead, Jess.
The false prophet's always saying, peace, peace. Guess what, Paul? And there is no peace. That's what a false.
Right.
Oh, nothing to see here. Move on. But that's Jesus, right. The great high priest, who was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes as sheep without a shepherd. And he called the people graciously and lovingly to come to him for rest and peace.
Yes.
Because our Lord is the true watchman. Our Lord is the true watchman. And he also says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Comments?
Yeah, listen, Jess, you said it right on the money. You know, the Lord is the true shepherd. You know, he laid down his life for the sheep. And anybody who does not emulate him and follow his example, particularly when you bear the title as a successor of the apostles, by the way, all of which were martyred with the exception of John, who was boiled in oil and survived. If you don't have that type of commitment, you're going to be in trouble, because the Bible clearly says friends with the world is enmity toward God. And what I see today is I see more and more prelates, of high ranking prelates within our church, becoming quite cozy with the world, becoming, you know, because why? In some cases, let's use Germany as an example, you know, you've got the German government paying the salaries, you know, giving yep. healthy sums of money.
Yep.
And if that doesn't tie your hands and make you essentially a spokesperson for the government, I don't know what does. Nothing. Listen, Jess, we are called to proclaim the truth unto death, if that is the case. And this is not, you know, it's time to wake up. People need to, we need to hear, we need Joshua again to say, choose you this day who Amen. You will serve. Make a choice.
Amen. The first pope, if he was here right now, he would tell the bishops what he said in Acts 2:40, set yourselves apart from this corrupt generation. That's exactly what St. Peter would say right now. Because what's the goal of the Catholic faith? The goal of the Catholic faith is not to be some social justice warrior or some modernist prelate teaching, a psychobabble Catholicism. The goal of the Catholic faith is to know, love, and serve God and to become great saints. And anybody who misses the opportunity of being a saint, you wasted your time on planet Earth. Your life was a waste. And the bishops, who are our fathers in the faith, they know that they're the ones that are supposed to make us saints by their teaching, governing, and sanctifying. They're not supposed to conform us to this world. We're supposed to stand out as Catholic Christians. They're supposed to teach, govern, and sanctify us and lead us to heaven, not tell us how many times to wash our hands throughout the day, not tell us to wear a mask when we go into church, not tell us to stand 6 feet apart from the next person. That's Fauci's job.
Yeah, listen, we have been called to conform to the image of Christ. Christ was the suffering servant. If we are the mystical body of Christ just in this world, then the mystical body of Christ will follow the same path, the same trajectory that Christ did, okay? In the end, yes, there's a glorious resurrection and victory, but in between, in the process, it is a hard road. It is the road to Calvary. It is a road where we're called to pick up our cross. It is a road where we will be lied about. We will be ridiculed. We will be punished. And guess what? God will be right there with us.
Amen. Jesus 911, two fired up Catholics on a Monday morning. We're talking about Cardinal Raymond Burke's letter. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay. Paul, I'll tell you, one of the things that's very scary is that the devil goes after bishops. In particular, and I'll tell you, we can see this right from Scripture. In John 13:27, it tells us that Satan entered into Judas Iscariot at the Last Supper. It says this, quote, after he took the morsel, Satan entered him. So Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do quickly. Also in Luke 22:3, it says, then Satan entered into Judas, the one surnamed Iscariot, who was counted amongst the 12. And then in John 6:70, our Lord says, Jesus, he says this, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? And so what am I saying here? Just because you're a bishop, and that's what Judas was, he had the office of bishop, episcopate in Greek. The fact is, even God's chosen ones can fall away from the faith and apostatize, because every single one of us, we have to choose to follow Christ day by day, minute by minute, Amen. Second by second. And God will allow you to exercise your own free will and reject them even at the end. But again, one more, the thing is, the devil likes to go after powerful players like bishops and politicians. And so I'm just glad that I'm not a politician, and I'm glad that I'm not a bishop, Paul. I'm glad that I'm just a little blue-collar lay Catholic that loves Jesus and is trying to get as many people to heaven. I feel like I'm on the Titanic, and I'm just a little guy in the ship. I'm not a shot caller. I just mop the deck, and I'm just throwing lifesavers out into the ocean of drowning people. That's all I've been doing for the last, 20 years, throwing lifesavers and trying to bring people in. Because I'm not a shot caller. Yeah. I'm not a bishop.
Yep.
I don't have the authority of an apostle.
I'm going to repeat what I said earlier, and I'll say it again. Psalm 8:2, God ordains strength out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, Jess. So even though, this is what you need to understand. Even though you are not, you do not have any ecclesiastical authority or power in that sense. The Lord's strength is perfected in weakness. You see, that's what God did with the Virgin Mary. Out of this humble virgin who, in the world standard, is essentially a nobody, God made her the queen of heaven and earth. Okay, this is the power of God, and this is what God can do. And see, all we need to do, God will use us to the extent that we allow ourselves to be used. And so I just want to encourage the people listening out there today, this battle is far from over. We get the final victory. And let me just, if you doubt that, Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he has done. Emphasis on the what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. This is what Jesus' promises. He is bringing judgment, Jess, and he will in the end have the final word.
Amen, Paul. Every single one of us has an exit interview with Jesus. And there's only two ways to meet him. You either die in friendship with Christ or you die an enemy of Christ. There's no other third choice. And it reminds me of Ezekiel 33, verse 11. God doesn't want to send people to hell. He doesn't want to consign people to hell. The Bible says, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back. Right. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? And having said that, let's just remember that our bishops and priests are the officers on the battlefield. They need our prayers. We need to support them, the good ones, to build up the kingdom of God and fight for souls. And Paul, we have to expose the bad ones, and we have to call them to accountability. We got to say, hey, because they're our spiritual fathers. It's like if you it's like if you came home and you saw your dad, stone cold drunk in the couch watching pornography and dropping F-bombs. You'd walk in, you say, Dad, you're my father. Dad, don't do that. This is a bad example for us and my brothers and sisters. Dad, don't do that. Knock it off, Dad. This is what we have to say to our bishops. In other words, knock it off. We need holy bishops. We need holy fathers.
Yeah, Jess. And, as much as people might like to think like, whoa, these guys are really hardcore, calling out these bishops. Listen, we love them enough to speak the truth. The sacred scripture tells us speak the truth in love. And that's what we're doing. Let the chips fall where they may be, because we know that if we confess our sins, if you find yourself in that, if you're out there and you have any type of church authority and you're listening to this broadcast, if we confess our sins, God is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what we understand. He has given us a beautiful gift in the sacrament, just where we could go and we can come out white as snow.
Paul, and people can't use the excuse like, well, the devil made me do it. You probably remember, because we're the same age. You probably remember back in the 1970s that the black comedian Flip Wilson, okay, that was his famous line, the devil made me do it. Nope, that's not Catholic theology, brother. The devil doesn't have dominion over our free will. Our free will is always under our control. So people can't say on the day of reckoning at the particular judgment before Jesus, oh, Lord, I'm sorry for doing this, that, and the other. The devil made me do it. No, the devil certainly puts temptations out there. But he never arrests your will, because your will is always under your dominion. And this is probably again, St. John Chrysostom says, very unpopular, he says, the road to hell is paved with skulls of monks and priests, and the skulls of bishops light the way. Very unpopular. I hate to quote that verse, but This is a doctor of the church back in the fourth century. He just warns us about the danger of it is to be a leader in the church and not do your job, well, not be a shepherd.
Well, he's echoing Christ. He says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? You see? And he's talking in particularly to the church, you know, about the church. Yes, he's talking about the world at large, but guess what? The world and the people, they follow their leaders.
Yes. This reminds me back in, I think it was back in 1979, there was a very famous book that I read. It was from Monsignor George Kelly, who was a traditional Catholic priest. The book was called The Battle for the American Church. Came out in 79. And one of his lines that he said in the book, he said this, the church goes where its leaders take it. Think about that, Paul. Mm-hmm. The church mm-hmm. goes where its leaders take it. And so what does that tell me? That tells me, in other words, what Monsignor George Kelly was saying in this book is weak leadership breeds a weak church, and strong leadership breeds a strong church. It's simple.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's powerful, Jess. You know, I just wanted to just, you know, continue to encourage people and remember, again, Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the fornicators, and murderers, and adulterers, and everyone who loves and practices falsehoods. You see, we want to be those five faithful virgins, Jeff. We don't want to be the
ones right.
where oil runs out. We want to focus on Christ, knowing that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond what we think.
Amen. And don't be discouraged by the enormity of the task that lies ahead of all of us.
That's
because
right.
That's right. This is our Esther moment. This is our Queen Esther moment right now.
Yes.
We were destined to live at a time like this. Why did God allow you to live? Because he needs you right now. So the time for being a half-hearted, a half-baked Catholic, the time is over. This is a time where we have to be full contact Catholics, fully
Amen.
Committed Catholics. That's our high calling.
Yes. We
cannot be people who bend our knees to the false gods of this world. We have to be those remnant. We will only bow to the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so Catholics, know your faith, live your faith, and spread your faith. I'm going to repeat it again. Know your faith, but you can't know your faith if you're not studying it. Live your faith. It's a public thing.
Yes.
It's not supposed to be something that you just do indoors behind your house. And then spread your faith. God wants the whole world to come into captivity to the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Catholic Church.
That's right. Listen, you reminded me of an old Protestant pastor, D.L. Moody, and he said, you don't want to know why so many people came out to see him. He says, because people love to see you burn. Okay, light that fire. Know the sacred scriptures and proclaim it from the rooftops. And yes, you are going to be look odd in this world, but that's okay because we are in this world. We are not of this world. Our citizenship, sacred scripture tells us, just is in heaven. We are ambassadors of the Lord of hosts, the Lord Most High. To him be all the glory, praise, and honor.
Amen. And Brother Catholics, as we wrap it up here, remember we serve the Blessed Virgin Mary, the 12-star general. She's the Virgin most powerful. Pray your rosary every day. Read your Bible every day. And by doing this, you inflict pain and torment and drive demons away from your family and your marriage. Let's unite our prayers to the heels of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Let's unite our prayers to the sword of Saint Michael and continue delivering powerful blows to the kingdom of darkness and tear down the gates of hell, which are modernism, Marxism, and Masonry.
Yes, Yes, well said, Jess. Well said. We need to understand that the Blessed Virgin Mary is the new Eve, and we are, and she is our Queen Mother, and mm-hmm. she is, you know, she has a stake in the game, and she knows that, and you know, we just, you know, she is Mary is bringing. Well, I've heard it said that Mary is God's masterpiece. She is the disciple. She is what we all hope to be, Jess.
Oh, I hear the music. That's a wrap. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics, coming to you from the Midwest Command Center. I'm coming to you from Kansas. Paul's coming to you from Nevada. We'll be back again tomorrow. Same Christ time, same Christ channel. God bless you. Keep the faith. God bless you.
Amen.